Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Welcome in, everybody, to another edition of the Go 24/7 podcast. I'm Matthew Bruni, and joining me today is Hall of Fame coach Kim Mulkey. Coach, how are you doing this morning?
Well, I'm doing pretty darn good. You know, when you get to be my age, just waking up is a big thing.
I mean, you got me up at 8 a.m. And not that I don't usually wake up decently early, but, you know, got to wake up a little early to get, you know, everything set up. So I appreciate you having me up at this early hour for this podcast. And thanks for joining me.
You're welcome.
Now, in the morning, do you have like a morning routine? Are you a coffee person, or how does that all work for you to get going?
I don't have a routine, and no, I'm not a coffee person. I've never had a cup of coffee in my life. Don't even know what it tastes like. I know what it smells like, but if I have any beverage in the morning or breakfast, it's usually a small bottle Coke, I like orange juice. I like grape juice. And if I do eat anything, it could be bacon, it could be eggs. But normally, if I have time, I'll grab something, but it won't be coffee.
So yeah, you're the same as me. I've never had coffee before either. I just get through the day, just get going. I don't need it to get going. That's the best thing. Now, we were talking a little bit beforehand, but I'm from Texas, like I said, and so I've moved here about 4 months ago, and I've been trying to get accustomed to food, to the food and everything. So like boudin, I didn't know how to say boudin 4 months ago. I had some blackened alligator a few months ago as well, all that stuff. Do you have a favorite Louisiana dish or meal or anything like that? Obviously you're the expert here compared to me.
Well, I tell you, I don't pick just one. I love to eat, and I guess it's just a culture I grew up around, and I've missed the food from Louisiana for the last 21 years I've been in Texas. I learned how to eat Mexican food in Texas. So I like Mexican food now. I like just about anything. You name it, I'll eat it. And I'm very particular. I don't want just any kind of gumbo. It has to have a real roux, and it has to be, just dark and taste the way I think a gumbo should taste. Love anything that has crawfish in it. Love any kind of seafood, really. So there's nothing that I will tell you that's known to be made in Louisiana that I would tell you I don't like. I haven't eaten alligator. I'm not sure that I would dislike it, though, but I've never eaten alligator.
Interesting. Yeah, it didn't taste anything crazy. It was like chicken, but like with a little twang to it. So it wasn't anything crazy. But let's talk basketball while I have you here, because that's why I've covered the team this year, and it's been a lot of fun covering them. Y'all are now ranked number 24 in the AP poll. You've put in a lot of work to get to this point. Obviously, the success your players have had just in this year, getting to know you and getting to know your system, coming off a big win over Iowa State. Just what is being ranked, what does that represent for the work that y'all put in, and just how far y'all kind of come over this period of time?
Well, when you take over a program that's only won 9 games the previous season, you celebrate little milestones, and it lets you know that the work you're putting in, you're heading in the right direction. And not just the fact that we beat an Iowa State who was ranked, we celebrated when we beat Missouri State, because we respect the program and their history as well. And so getting ranked ourselves, we're going to celebrate that. And when I say celebrate, it's more of an acknowledgement and not just take it for granted. Certainly there are teams that are ranked every year, number one, number two, number three. I was pretty fortunate to be a part of a program like that. We didn't overdo it, but we acknowledged that, we're being ranked. And so we recognize it's just someone's opinion. It's either a sports writer's opinion or in the coach's poll, it's a coach's opinion. But at least I tell the kids it's better to be recognized than not recognized. And so, you know, when you write down the goals for the year, sometimes you may say, hey, stay ranked all year or let's get ranked. But that's not the ultimate goal. The ultimate goal for our basketball team is to win enough games, get recognized enough that you're worthy of being selected for the NCAA tournament.
For sure. And you mentioned the Missouri State win. I felt like that one kind of got overlooked because it was not a home game. But you have the Missouri State win, even the Louisiana win, the Tulane win. Those are all really, really impressive results to me, just, you know, being someone who was watching the team and covering the team. And someone coming into the year, I was not sure how it was going to play out. And you even said it yourself at the press conference. You're like, I'm not going to snap my fingers and, you know, win 20 games. So has this kind of success and the way that y'all have kind of played, has it surprised you at all to this point to be kind of getting going this early?
No, I kind of coach with the mindset that nothing ever surprises me because we're going to always be prepared, and nor am I afraid to fail. And so if you have that approach as a coach, I think you instill it in your players. We inherited seniors that have lots of experience, and I am indebted to those young ladies forever because they certainly didn't have to stay after the new coach was hired and my staff was brought with me, and they chose to stay. So I'm not surprised, but again, I don't take it for granted. Had we lost those games, I would not have been afraid to say, hey, we gave it everything we had.
Yeah, for sure. Now, looking at the team a little bit closer, I'm a big fan of y'all's guard versatility, just with Kayla, Ryan Payne, Jalen Cherry, Alexis Morris, just having those four, you can sub in and out and you have a lot of freedom, I feel like, to play a three guard lineup if you want. Jalen Cherry is obviously a great defender. And then you have, you know, Kayla with the way she controls the game, and then Payne and Morris, the way they've been able to score the ball. Just what does that mean to have that type of versatility at the guard spots, and you can mix and match lineups and everything like that? Just how valuable is that?
Well, it means a great deal to our program. I mean, those guys are as quick as any guards I've ever coached collectively. Those guys have the quickest hands. You know, they can disrupt you a lot defensively. And then, you know, you always want depth. And I think, you know, I can mix and mingle any of those together. And three of the four are truly point guards, but they're so unselfish that they're just willing to play any of the perimeter positions to get to play and to make us better.
Yeah. And the defensive pressure that they put on opposing guards, like they can extend past the 3-point line, get deflections. Has that kind of led y'all's defensive surge this year?
Well, I hope so. I think when you watch us play, I think, as you said, that's one of the first things you notice is how quick we are. And we're not big on the perimeter. I know some teams will try to post us up, and that's, you know, that's understandable. But we feel like we have as quick a guards as anybody you'll see collectively in the country. And we're going to try the best we can to use those tools and pressure the ball. There will be times where we need to understand how much pressure to give, because you don't want to get beat off the dribble, but they're not going to get beat off the dribble too many times.
Yeah, no. And haven't gotten too much foul trouble either. I mean, it's been really impressive to see how they've kind of bought in on both ends there. Now, Coach, I want to play a quick game just to kind of mix it up there. Just a one-word game. So I'm going to say a player. You just tell me the word you think either describes them or just comes to mind, and then you kind of expand on why you kind of chose that word. So just run through a few players here. Let's start with the non-guard. Let's start with Autumn Newby. What's one word you would use to describe Autumn?
Rebounder.
Yeah, pretty much. It feels like she's like the glue in a sense, like the way she's kind of athletic and can rebound and defend. I feel like that's kind of that's probably right.
She's an undersized post player that is really a tremendous offensive rebounder, and she, what a great addition to our program and to our team.
Yep. Hannah Gusters.
Big. Big as in tall. We need size. I love big post players. She will tell you that's why she came to play at LSU with me. My history of dealing with big girls and how we use them.
Yep. I mean, especially, I mean, Iowa State, she had a couple key baskets. I think that was in the second half, right, where she got found her catches deep in the post and just turns and gets positioned really well. All right, let's go back to the guards. Kayla Poynter.
I have so many one words I would like to say. I knew this was going to be tough. Great.
Yeah.
She's a great player. She's a great player, and she's our all SEC performer, and she's great in a lot of aspects of the game.
Yep. Ryan Payne.
Quick.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Her hands are as quick as any player I've coached, and she's just very disruptive on the defensive end.
Last one, Alexis Morris.
Funny.
It's a more personality one. Yeah, she is.
She can come up with some funny things. She says funny things. I can look at her a certain way and she just laughs. So I would describe her just funny. And I don't know that people really realize that about her.
Yeah, I mean, being at press conferences, you can already tell she's fun. You have a lot of kids that seem like they have a good time. They're enjoyable to be around. So that's always good.
They are. They make my job easy.
Yeah. Now, I want to talk about Kayla a little bit because she's, like you said, she's great. I mean, the way she can control a game, the way she can get in the paint, the way she can finish, I feel like it's huge for this team to have that kind of go-to presence. But she doesn't force it, you know. So I think she's shooting 45% on the year, somewhere around there. And then when she gets in the paint and finishes, I told you I'm from San Antonio. I was like, I see some Tony Parker, like when she's in the paint. She has a little spin move, finish. It's like, so it's really impressive. Just talk about what she brings to this team as far as just how she kind of controls a game and runs the offense.
Well, Kayla, it goes without saying, she's the leader of the team. She and Foss and Cherry, those three are the returning players that they're our leaders. They're our captains. But the fun part for me in watching Kayla is that she has allowed me to challenge her. She's allowed me to make her understand to whom much is given, much is expected. And sometimes she'll be the wrath of my criticism. And she may not have done anything wrong, but I'm sending a message to the rest of the team. And she has handled that very well. I'm sure that she's just like all players. They don't want to be on the other end of a coach's getting on them. But at the end of the day, because of the position she plays, because of how good she is, sometimes I need to set the tone of practice just by challenging her. Another thing about Kayla is she doesn't have to do it all by herself. I think she will quickly tell you there are talented players around her. And that's a good thing because she can take over a game and we will run a lot of sets and things for her because we want her to be the one with the ball in her hands. But at the same time, I think because of the talent around her, it kind of helps her become an even greater player.
Yeah, for sure. Now looking at, I want to go back to the Iowa State game because I was there and it was the most frenetic crowd I've been to for a women's basketball game. And it was just really interesting to see how the students were there, but then also the regular fans that were always there felt like they were even more juiced up because it was a game against the number 14 team in the country, Iowa State. And it was an 8 p.m. game. Just what was it like having that crowd for Iowa State? And just what did it mean to you to see that?
Well, first of all, the students being there, that was just so wonderful. The night before, I basically fed them breakfast in the dormitory. They're all studying for their finals. And Dr. Tate and as well as other faculty members, you know, we were interacting with a lot of young people, and I'm sure a lot of that attendance from students came from me challenging them and asking them and begging them to come to the game. And they did, they showed up. Electric would be a description I would give describing the atmosphere. It was just a good game. It was a game against a team that's so good and well-respected, and people showed up. And not only did they show up, they engaged in the game. And they were as fired up as the team and as the staff was on the bench. And that's what we have to do in order to grow this program.
Yeah. And it sustained throughout the game, mostly because of how y'all played and just because of how well y'all played, but it sustained throughout the game. That was the really impressive part. Because sometimes you see games where they're interested and then it wanes and then they come back whenever y'all close it out. But that was, yeah, really impressive. Now, looking at the rest of non-conference, still have a couple challenging games on there still. Obviously, I think Texas Tech's on there. Just where is the main focus for you as you prepare for conference, try to get this team ready for what it's going to see in the SEC?
Well, you want to win all the games in non-conference that you can. Heck, you want to do that in conference, but let's be a realist here. Mm-hmm. We understand what we face. Right now, our preparation is on us. What we do every day is making us better. Add a little tweak here. Do something on the defensive end. Continue to get better in your practices every day. Continue to develop somebody that just needs a lift and may end up going in the game for one big rebound. We're focused on us. And then when we get closer to who we play, then we'll do our scouting report and focus on what we need to do to win a game. You know, at the end of the month, we start conference play. And our first three games are against ranked teams in the SEC, teams we're not supposed to beat. So, and we may not beat those teams, but I hope that when those teams do a scouting report, it will be much more detailed and they will understand that take LSU serious and we're going to have to fight and claw in this game. Whereas maybe in the past they did or didn't do that. I don't know, but I certainly want them to respect us. I want them to understand that we're going to come and we're going to give you everything we can. You may be on paper the better team. You may have more talent. But as we've learned through the years, the most talented teams don't always win. And so our approach is for a lot of games, particularly in the SEC, we're the underdog. We're not supposed to win. So we've got to go out there and we've got to gain that respect. And we've got to make sure that, you know, people take LSU serious. And even in losses, you got to make sure that if you walk off that floor, you gave it everything you had, and they were just better than we were.
Yeah, no, I cannot wait for SEC play. I mean, like you said, I mean, yeah, there's a lot of ranked teams, Tennessee, A&M, Georgia. I do a podcast on the side for Dave Campbell's Texas Basketball, where, you know, we've watched Baylor and A&M and all of them play. So I'm excited for it. Now, couple things left. I know this is going to be kind of a loaded question, but as far as coaches that you've learned the most from, I know coaches, you can go probably down a list of 10, 15 names of coaches that have influenced you or helped you throughout your career. But if you had to pick one or two just that have really left their mark on you, whether you, when you were a player at La Tech or since then, I know, I think you mentioned, I mean, Pat Summitt and we're all a lot of different names, but who are those names for you? And then when you look at them, how have you kind of just molded yourself, I don't know what to say, after them and then taking your own kind of path?
Well, I think it's goes without saying the two that I learned the most from and that were mentors to me were Leon Barmore, my coach at Louisiana Tech. And he also came and worked with me 3 years at Baylor after his retirement. He taught me the finer points of the game, the details of the game. He was my coach at Louisiana Tech. And then I worked for him for 15 years. And so still to this day, we talk pretty regularly about either he's watched my games or we're talking about our families. But there's no question that he taught me just about everything I know about the game. And then I played for Pat Summitt in the 84 Olympics and was around her during the summers leading up to the Olympics with USA Basketball. And she was a mentor to me as a female, as a mother, as, you know, a divorced female. A lot of things that we talked about really didn't have to do with basketball, but she also coached me. So she and Leon Barmore, without question, are the two that impacted my life the most when it comes to basketball.
For sure. All right, last question. Now, I went to y'all's practice before the season, and I heard you rattle off a bunch of football euphemisms or football comparisons. And so I was wondering if between, and then I know your son played baseball. So do you have a favorite sport to watch outside of basketball, or is it like, how do you watch, or do you watch football? Do you watch baseball, or how does that work for you?
Well, I grew up in Louisiana, and at that time, really the three major sports were basketball, football, and baseball. Now, I have much respect for a lot of sports, but it was just not, there were just not that many sports around when I was growing up. You now have so many sports, I couldn't name them all, but those are the three major ones I will watch, both on TV and, you know, it can be college, it can be pro. I don't tend to watch as much pro basketball, one, because there's so many games, and two, I really think they play extremely harder when it's playoffs. So I will tend to watch the playoffs and in the NBA and WNBA before I watch regular season, because it's just such a long season for them. I just love sports. I can talk those three sports with anybody. It's comfortable for me. Now, other sports I watch, but I probably could not talk X's and O's with people in the other sports because I was not exposed to those very much.
Yeah, same. Yeah, it's, you should have seen me covering volleyball. I was out there. Volleyball is a real fun sport, real bat fast paced and everything, but like where the outside is, the back line, right, everything. I was like, okay, let's go back to basketball. Yeah, where I'm
I understand.
So, well, Coach, that's all I got for you today. I appreciate you for joining me. I look forward to the rest of the season. I appreciate your willingness to come on here and talk, and also just throughout the press conferences, being transparent with all of us. So I really appreciate it.
What you see is what you get. And I want you to, as a young person, to recognize, you mentioned Dave Campbell. And Mr. Dave was a big part of my life when I was at Baylor and in Waco. I met him right out of the gates when I was hired there. He's a legend. He's still living. The Dave Campbell Football Magazine, he would sign it every year for me and my kids. And do your research on Dave Campbell and let young people know we need more people like Dave Campbell in the media. He is just a genuine, always writing the good stories instead of digging for dirt on people. And we need more Dave Campbells in this world.
For sure. Yeah, no, that's been a lot of fun getting to know them over there and getting to work with them. So, well, Coach, I will wrap this up. Thank you for joining me. Everybody can subscribe to the podcast on YouTube, Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast. And thank you all for listening. We'll talk to y'all later.
New CBS Monday.
NCIS. Here's where we can see them.
NCIS and NCIS Hawaii return with all new cases.
Double tap to the chest, one to the head.
These guys are professionals.
All new criminals.
Violent island we got here.
Welcome to paradise.
And all new crimes to be solved.
If you're watching this, I've been arrested.
What are the charges?
Just one. Murder.
New NCIS and NCIS Hawaii. Monday starting at 9/8 Central on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.